Well, the 4th of July is just a few days away, and it's time to celebrate. The problem is, here in the U.S., a lot of people don't know what they're celebrating or why they're celebrating. I've seen on TV where different people have done interviews, gone to the beach, gone to the mall, gone to college campuses, whatever it might be, and particularly younger people, college-age students, young adults, they're asking, you know, well, what is 4th of July? You know, ask them, what's another name for the 4th of July? Wanting them to say Independence Day. And a lot of them don't know. There was one that asked, you know, well, when is Independence Day? And, you know, they didn't know. Some of the answers are funny, but they're not funny, because they would ask them, well, what's it about? And some would say, well, it was the end of the Second World War, or the end of the Civil War. Well, you know, who was the people that were fighting in this war that you think that it ended? And, you know, the French and the Indians, or the Red Coats and the Blue Coats, or pathetic, the answers that were given. I'm sure there were some that were correct every once in a while, but, you know, you didn't hear those and didn't take note of those. But, you know, there was a lot of stuff in history that I had to learn that I have forgotten. I remember having to memorize dates when, you know, like different people discovered different things back in the 1400s or 1500s or whatever it maybe was. And I really saw nothing. I didn't see any purpose in that. I didn't put a whole lot of effort into doing it, probably. But like I said, a lot of the history that I learned is in there someplace, but I'm wish that if I was asked some of these questions, I'd be able to come up with an answer. But I don't think history is being taught, at least not the kind of history that I learned. I remember, I think it was in maybe ninth grade, we did New York State history. That's where I was. Then we did U.S. history, like in 10th grade. And then as a junior, we did world history. And I didn't take any history in college, but we need to know our roots. And I don't care if you're in the U.S. or if you're in Canada or you're in Germany or where you might possibly be, you need to know your roots. One thing that I remember when our kids lived in Texas, our oldest son and family, Texas is proud of Texas. And our grandson, he'd have been like third grade, second grade, I guess, at the time. And, you know, they, for one of their subjects was Texas history. And, you know, so he knew that at the time. It's been a few years since he's been there. But, you know, we need to know. We need to know our roots, whatever they might be. So with that said, let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks that we can find your history in our Bible, that from the beginning of creation, that it's right there, that it's spelled out for us, and that, Lord, we don't have to wonder. There's a whole lot there, as we're finding out reading through the Old Testament again. And Lord, I know there's a whole lot that I don't remember, you know, names and battles and peoples and all of that. But Lord, I know where I can find it with no problem. That, you know, I can go to your word and find the history of Christianity and how everything in the Old Testament points to the New Testament and points to Jesus Christ. So, Father, we give you thanks that you've given us our roots as believers. So Lord, help us to study that more than our state history or our U.S. history or our world history. Those things are important, but the history that we find in your word is the most important. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the web host that I use to do these podcasts is called Podbean. I don't know how you listen to my podcast, you know, what route you take to get to them. So you may already know that. But I can go to the Podbean website and I can see how many hits a day that I get on, not on individual podcasts, but on my site, and how many downloads there are. And for the last year or so, I've been averaging over 200 a day. Very seldom was there a day that would be under 200. But the last 30 days, I don't know, it's really fallen off. You know, there were a few days when it was over 200. And I started to wonder, did I say something that got people upset and they're not listening anymore? Or did I say something that was really wrong scripturally? You know, did I, you know, really mess things up? You know, not just as a slip of the tongue, but, you know, continue to drive home a point that was just totally off the wall? Or somebody, you know, maybe blocked me? And I thought, I'm really not that important that somebody would do that, because the Lord sent me to this scripture in Romans 12:3 that says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." And I thought, whoa, I guess that really speaks to me. I put that in green so I would remember about the envy or the jealousy or whatever it might be. So I want to do what I know the Lord wants me to be doing. And when I first started doing these podcasts 4 years ago, I guess it was. No, 3 years ago. I guess probably 3 years ago. I'd get maybe 25 or 30 hits in a day, and I was excited. I thought, wow, you know, this is really something. You know, just look at all these people listening. Now, you have to understand, you know, as I've said, I'm a retired pastor, and the churches that I pastored were small. I mean, small. 100 people on a Sunday morning would be considered a really huge crowd. The one church that I pastored, it was part of a three-point charge. I had three churches. And the one church, there'd be maybe 15, 20 people there. Sometimes less, sometimes maybe get up, you know, 25 or so. But so to say that there were 30 people a day that were listening to me, let's see, 30 people, seven, that's over 200 people in a week. And that's more people than I had listening to me on Sunday mornings. So I felt what the Lord was telling me was this: you're letting it become about you and no longer about me. Okay? And so when I really understood that, I thought, okay, I'm kind of back to where I need to be with this. So if I get 30 hits a day or 200 hits a day or 2 hits a day, you know, it's fine, because God's the one that's in charge, you know, and it has to be all about him, because he directs people to the messages that I give, not me. You know, I don't go out, you know, asking people to listen. So if I give a message and God has that message for one person in particular, no one else has to listen to it. I mean, maybe 100 people will, but, you know, if God wants that one person to hear that message, it's going to happen. Because then God sent me to Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah 55, verses 9 through 11. And this is the word that he had for me. This is from the NIV. says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Okay, now let me read that again from the Message. Okay, because as always, the Message is a little different. It says, for as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think. Just as rain and snow descend from the skies and do not go back until they have watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seed for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They will do the work I sent them to do. They will complete the assignment I gave them. Okay? God is in control. When I give a message, God is in control. When Bill Hybels gives a message, Rick Warren, Andy Stanley, Craig Groeschel, Ed Young, you name it, no matter who gives the message, you know, your pastor, whoever it might be, it's all from God. Now, some of those people that I mentioned, they may have thousands of people listening to them daily, and that's okay, because that's what the Lord has given them. Do more people listen to them because of their style or their delivery or because of where they are? No, but because God has led those numbers of people to them to listen to the word that they have. Now, here's something Paul gives us in Ephesians 4, 11 to 13. This is a New Living Translation. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gives to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that will be mature in the Lord, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Okay, now we have to understand that Paul isn't saying that we are going to match the standard of Christ, because that's never going to happen. All right, we're never going to have the wisdom and knowledge of Christ, no matter how long we study or how long we preach or whatever it might be. But we will measure up to the standard that Christ has set for us. Okay, that's something that's attainable. But it's only attainable when we commit to following Jesus, and when we commit to using the gifts and talents that we have been given, and when we commit to becoming all that God expects us to be, and when we commit to allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. You know, Paul's not telling us we're all going to be apostles or prophets or evangelists or pastors or teachers, okay? Paul is saying, you know, Christ has given us these different platforms, I guess we call them that, to not everybody, but different ones to different people, and to take his word and to spread his word. Now, a prophet spreads the word differently than a teacher, and an evangelist spreads the word differently than a pastor. So we've been given different platforms and different gifts and talents to be used to pass on God's word the way he wants it to be done. Okay, just like it says in 1 Corinthians 12, I mean, Paul's speaking about the gifts, but in verses 28 to 31, this is what he says. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Okay? And the most helpful gifts are the most helpful gifts that God has given you. And maybe He's given you those gifts just for a season. Now, we're going to get into the gifts probably soon. Okay? But just talking about the first part of that, apostles, prophets, teachers. Okay? You know, we are given the gift to be able to do what God expects us to do. Okay? Not everybody can stand up in front of 20 people or 5,000 people and present a message, you know, present the gospel message. Not everybody can do that. Okay? And I've never had the opportunity to stand up before 5,000 people. You know, I'm not sure. I know I would be intimidated to do that after, you know, maybe 125 is the most I've ever given a message in front of before. So, you know, I would be intimidated by that. But if that's what God wanted me to do, that's what would happen. Okay? Because that's what God wanted me to do. He's not going to give me the opportunity without giving me the ability to be able to do that. And the same goes for you. Okay, so what Paul's point is when he's talking about, you know, we're not all teachers or whatever. His point is God gives us what we need for the church and His glory. Okay, I saw this recently and I thought it was really good. Okay, Mother Teresa said, "What I can do, you cannot. What you can do, I cannot. But together, we can do something beautiful for God." That's what's expected of us. Okay, I know I've talked about this before. You know, everybody can't be the worship leader. Okay, everybody can't play the guitar or the drums or the keyboard. Everybody can't, you know, do, you know, in our churches today, do all of the graphic stuff that's being done and the lights and, you know, the sound. You know, I mean, you look at some of these sound boards that are like 6 feet long and have, you know, maybe 15, 20, however many microphones. And, you know, if I were to sit down in that, you know, it would be a disaster. But there's other people that's the talent that they've been given to be able to do that. Now, maybe over 6 months or a year or 5 years, I'd be able to do it. But I haven't been given that talent, at least not to this point in my life. So God gives us what we need. And sometimes it's just for a season, like I said. And then it's taken away. And like I said, I want to talk about the gifts in the coming weeks, and we'll see how that really relates to that. But I know when I look at myself as a pastor, teaching was not my strong point. Okay, a lot of different times, especially the last appointment where we were, you know, I just wanted to do a men's group. And so, you know, we would have we'd have beer and wings, okay? And when I first announced that from the pulpit, everybody was like, "Oh, I got beer and wings, what is he talking about?" Well, what I was talking about was root beer and wings. And so, you know, it was a men's thing, and we'd get together, and then the next week we'd start a study of some kind. You know, we did different men's studies, did Joe Gibbs. We did, can't think of the guy's name. I can see him standing right here in front of me, but I can't think of the name. Another study. And when we get started, I think, why did I do this? You know, I don't like to do this. You know, I don't really feel that I'm good at teaching, you know, not in this context. You know, what was I thinking when I said that this would be a good idea, or when I thought that this would be something that I could be able to do well at? And I'm sure, you know, the men that put in the effort got something out of it. but a good teacher, they would have gotten more out of it. Counseling was not what I considered a strong point that I had. I would always do premarital counseling, but I had stuff that, you know, was all laid out for me, and all I had to do was just follow it and, you know, do these different things with them and have them do different things and all. And so, you know, I could handle that. But as far as counseling, you know, somebody came with, you know, marital problems or came with, you know, whatever it might be, I just didn't feel real comfortable. And so I was always quick to refer people to someone that was their area. But preaching was where I felt the most used by the Lord. And some of you might be thinking, wow, he must have really been a bad teacher and a terrible counselor if he thinks preaching was his strong point. And you may be right, okay? But I love to take a passage or a verse and see where God leads. Okay, you know, I sometimes interpret things differently than others. And if you've been listening for a while, you might say, that's for sure. Okay, but that's okay. I'm bringing interpretation that I feel the Lord's giving me to that verse or that passage. I may be the only one you ever hear that says it, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it's right either. But I know how important it is for the people to be able to understand the Bible. And what I'm saying is to understand the best we can. Okay? I'm not saying, you know, we need to be able to understand, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, everything that's all laid out and just have it all down pat. That ain't going to happen. Okay? But, you know, to be able to understand the best that we can, and to realize that God's word is for today. Because a lot of people, you know, even church members and churchgoers, and all say, you know, I just don't get anything out of that. You know, that just doesn't relate to who I am or where I am in my life. And so we need to see what the writer of Hebrews had to say in chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. It says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Okay, that was the NIV. Now listen to the Message. God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. The NIV said it's God's word is alive and active. And so what that means in the Greek, now the King James says it's quick. And that's correct. Zano is the Greek word there, which means quick or alive. And active, the Greek there is energes, which means active, powerful, effectual. Okay, and so, you know, that's what God's word is. The Hebrew author is trying to get me, you, us, we, to understand how important God's word is. You know, and every translation that I looked at said that God's word is. Okay, it didn't say God's word was. So we need to know that God's word is just as powerful now as when it was written hundreds of years ago. I like what the Passion Translation, how it puts it. It says, "For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy." I like that. Okay, that book that you own, that Bible, that is full of energy. Okay, in too many homes, God's word has no energy. You know, it's a dust collector. It's maybe sitting out so you can see it, or it's stuck on a bookshelf someplace. It doesn't look active and doesn't seem to have any energy whatsoever. And whose fault's that? Well, it's our fault as individuals. It's maybe the fault of the church that you attend. Maybe it's the fault of the pastor. You know, but at the same time, it starts with us. Okay, we need to take ownership of that. You know, I used to have the congregation read scripture out loud every week. Okay, we'd have it up on the screen and have them read along with me. Why did I do that? Because for some, that was the only scripture that they would read all week long. What they read in the worship service on Sunday morning. Okay, I didn't just put it up there and I would read it. I would have them read it out loud. Well, everybody probably didn't, but I did my part. Okay, the church subscribed to the Upper Room and the Daily Bread, and we got maybe 20, 30 copies. And there were some people, they couldn't wait for it to come in. Okay, each issue was for 2 months or 3 months, and you know, they were just waiting for the next ones to come in so they'd be sure and have it. But at the same time, there's always some left over. And so, let's say July 1st was the beginning of the new cycle, and you know, the first Sunday in July, this year is going to be, what, the 7th, you know, a lot of people would take them, but, you know, come the end of church, you know, I look and there'd be a whole stack of them still there, and so I'd grab them, and I'd pass them out to people on their way out the door. Say, here, you know, we got this, you know, it's just sitting here, I don't want it to go to waste. And, you know, maybe they took it home and tossed it in the garbage. Maybe they lost it in their car someplace. Maybe they gave it to somebody else they thought might want it. You know, I mean, those devotionals and others like them, they're good. At least they're a good place to start. And hopefully they get some people to look a little bit farther. Now, if you're familiar with those kind of devotionals, they have, you know, scripture that you're supposed to read that goes along with it. And it's, you know, maybe 5 verses, maybe 10 verses, and all. But my hope would be that, you know, they would read that. Well, then they'd say, well, you know, why did it do that? Let me read before this. You know, this starts in verse 6, and, you know, let me see what verses 1 through 5 say about this. And so, you know, just to try and get people interested. You know, we say that things need to be interesting for the youth. Well, it has to be interesting for us adults as well. Nobody likes to read something that's going to put them to sleep. But God's word is exciting. Okay, and it's up to you and I to get people excited about it. You know, if you're listening to this, you are one of those people that finds God's word exciting. You want more than what you get from an hour on Sunday morning. You're looking for maybe some new or some different perspectives. Now, the internet gives us thousands of options. Some are really, really good. Some, not so much. Okay, and so we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to discern, because we need to find what's helping us grow, and we need to make sure that we're staying away from the false teachers that are out there. Jesus warned us of that in Matthew 7:15-20. New Living Translation, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Now, we need to, of course, understand that, you know, this was pre-cassette tapes and pre-videos and pre-internet, and, you know, and so, you know, you saw the people, or maybe even knew the people that you were hearing God's word from. And, you know, you would hear by word of mouth if someone was bringing the truth. You know, when Jesus was traveling around, you know, people had heard about Jesus before he got there. The same with Paul and the disciples as they were traveling around. You know, the word was there about them before they ever got there. Maybe a positive word, maybe a negative word, but the word was there anyways. So now it's harder to know. I mean, modern technology brings us a whole lot more, but it's harder to know what's good and what's not good. So let me go back to the beginning, back to Isaiah 55:11, where God tells us, "My word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." People can take God's word and twist it to say whatever they want. And scripture taken out of context can be very harmful. Okay, let me give you an example. Okay, a man was looking into the Bible for some guidance. Not knowing where to look, he simply opened the Bible randomly and pointed his finger at a passage. Wherever his finger lands, he will take his advice. Here was the first place his finger landed. Judas went out and hanged himself. Well, not really knowing what to make of that, he tried again and pointed to another verse, and it said, "Go and do likewise." Well, now he was really wondering, you know, what the Lord was trying to tell him. So he tried a third time, and it says, "Whatever you do, do so quickly." Okay, we can really get ourselves into trouble. Okay, when we take something out of context, it can really cause a problem. So we need to remember to not take a verse out of context, or sometimes just a part of a verse out of context. Okay, now you're probably not going to run across too many passages that are, you know, problems like this guy had, but you're not going to get the meaning or the truth out of a passage unless you really read the whole thing and you try to figure the whole thing out. Okay, you know, we are blessed with having such a large number of Bible versions, Bible translations. When we had the Christian bookstore, and we had Bibles all on display there, and so this, I can't remember now if it was a male or female, came in, and, you know, I don't know if they wanted a Bible for themselves or somebody else. And so I asked them, I said, "Well, what translation do you want?" And they said, "Well, you know, I guess English." Well, which was true. I mean, we had some Spanish Bibles, but they obviously didn't understand that there was, you know, NIV and NLT and NCV and, you know, all of them that are out there. Because there's compact Bibles, there's large print Bibles, there's leather, there's hardcover, there's red letter. You know, people would come in to our store and they would say, you know, "I want a large print Bible." And so I would get this large print Bible and I would, you know, put it down. They'd say, "Wow, that's really big." And I'd say, "Well, yeah, I mean, it's got to be big if you want the print to be big." And I'd say, "Well, you know, don't you have one, you know, that size?" And they would point to this little Bible that was maybe a third of the size of the one that I showed them. And I said, you know, a Bible like that, I'd get it and I'd show them the print and I'd say, "This is the size of the print. That's the size of the Bible that you want." And so, but we've got so much out there. I mean, there's no more excuses of, you know, "I just got my grandma's Bible and, you know, I can't understand a word. And, you know, it's all the these and thous and where goeths and all that sort of stuff." Nothing against King James. It's beautiful and in its own way. But you can't say, you know, "I just can't understand." You know, well, you can. We have a whole lot of Bibles. The only one that I use with any consistency is my NIV Study Bible, because it gives me cross-references and all that I can use. But what I use more than anything else is YouVersion, okay? The word YouVersion. And it's a free app that you can get for your phone, for your laptop, you know, your tablet, whatever it might be. And it's free, okay? Free. All you have to do is go and get the app. And it has an unnumbered number of versions in so many different languages. It's been funny. When we're doing our devotions, reading through the Bible, and, you know, Diane uses my iPad and I use our laptop. And, you know, usually it, if I go to the YouVersion, you know, for today, it's where I left off yesterday. And sometimes it's at the right place, you know, it's in the right book of the Bible, but I've had it come up in French, I've had it come up in Portuguese, and how it's gotten there, I'm not sure. I don't read or understand either one of those languages or any other language besides English, but they're all there. I mean, if you go to this, you know, just you'll be amazed at the variety that's there. And so that's why, you know, I can use that, and I can look at a verse in New Living Translation and say, you know, that sounds pretty good, but let me check the NIV or, you know, whatever, and find one that, you know, maybe sounds a little more like what I want. So try it out. It's the Word of God, and it's available, free. But I wanted to end with a song. I had one all picked out, and when I started, it really fit, but by the time I got done with my message, it didn't fit. So I found one that's even better. And the other one, yeah, you maybe would have been familiar with, but this one I'm pretty sure you probably are familiar with, maybe very familiar with. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Father, I just give you thanks for your word. Lord, your word is something that we need in our lives every day, because it's been given to us to make a difference in our life and the lives of others. And so, Father, help us to become more and more familiar with it. And Lord, those that know you, Father, I just pray that you'll speak to their hearts and just put a burden on them to come to know your word even more than what they do now, and to really explore the different versions, translations that are out there, that maybe will help them to understand things a little bit better sometimes. And Lord, I lift up those that maybe have never made a commitment to you. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you will put a burden on them, that, Lord, that they will know that they need to have you in their lives, and that they will decide that today's the day. Today is the day that I need to give my life to Jesus Christ and ask him to be my Savior, ask him to be the Lord of my life. And all they have to do is to come to you, admit that they've been a sinner, and just to testify that they know that what the Bible says is true, that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, that he died on the cross for their sins, and that he rose from the dead, and he's coming back. Lord, you've made it maybe too easy for some people, but Lord, you wanted to make it so it was available and open to anyone and everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.